Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back this beautiful Friday afternoon. Well, late morning. It's been raining here for like 4 or 5 days. Well, this area, because I was in D.C. last weekend, it rained all weekend. I get back home and it started raining. So for like 4 or 5 days, it was just nothing but rain, which I thought I wouldn't really care about that type of shit. But after experiencing it, I don't like it. So I don't know how people live in the Pacific Northwest and it rains all the time and they're cool with it, because I couldn't deal with it. But I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But as usual, off the top, I want to thank everyone for tuning in, for listening. So please tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a coworker, tell somebody. Help me grow my podcast, people. I guess I'll start off with my milestone. For those who don't know, my son's name is Miles, and he's 5. And every week I do a milestone. He's still at my parents' house. He's been there all summer, and he has about 2 weeks left. He's going to come back and start first grade. And we FaceTimed him last night for the first time in a couple of days, and he actually paid attention, because he hates doing that. He seems to be having fun. He looked like he put on some weight. He's eating different things. He had a Rice Krispie treat last night. And apparently he's sick of my mother wasting his time, according to my aunt. I guess they'll go out and do a grocery store run every night, and my mom will go in, and him and my aunt will sit in the car. And he told her, like, we can't let her go in the store by herself every day, Auntie Gail, because she's in there for a long time, and she's wasting my time right now. So I think that's pretty funny that a 5-year-old is worried about his grandmother wasting his time. But I'm looking forward to having him back. It was a quick, long summer, even though it's not over yet. But it seemed like there was so much going on. The weeks just kind of flew by. And, I mean, we're already over halfway through the year and got a lot of crazy shit coming up this fall. And a huge lifestyle change is coming up in December for me, which I'll talk about then. Nope, I'm not getting. I'm not switching genders, folks. You never know these days. But if you are, good on you. But yeah, I'll talk about that at a later time. But just a lot going on. Time is just flying by. But yeah, the weather has just been. I sound like an old man talking about the weather. It's just that rain just got to me. And just thinking about my comedy career and all that, the weather, and just, Saturday, I was just in a shitty fucking mood. And this is a pet peeve of mine. I hate people who are absolutely clueless in public. I hate this shit. Especially in a grocery store. When, like, lines are long, and then you'll see somebody like walk up to get in line too, and then you'll see their eyes dart over to another lane, and there's only one person over there, and they'll like rush to get in that lane, like, aha, everybody's dumb, I found this short line. And then the person at the register is like, no, I'm closed, this is the last person I'm helping. And then they gotta like back their card out, say excuse me, and it's just like, yeah, dumbass, you thought we were just standing in these long lines because we're dumb and you're smarter than everybody? Like, that's the kind of shit I hate. Or if I'm in line and you have two things and I have more than you, and you're like, hey, can I get in front of you? No, you can't. You don't ask to cut in line. Your time isn't more valuable than mine. You can go fuck yourself. No, you can wait. And people will look at me like, wow, that's kind of mean. It's like, it's not mean. It's just, I got shit to do too. It's only one thing. I don't care. Then you can wait. If you wouldn't ask, I probably would have let you. But the fact that you're asking so you can get out of there, you're basically saying fuck you to me. So you can kiss my ass. So it's pouring rain. It's been torrential for 2 days up there in D.C. And the power's out at my buddy's house. I can't iron my shirt to wear to the show that night. So I'm like, I got to go to Walmart. I got to get a t-shirt that I don't have to iron, and I got to get an umbrella. So I go in and I'm getting my stuff. I get the things I need. And I start walking up and down the front of the store, and none of the registers are open. But I see a couple of employees like talking at one of the express checkouts, but not the self-checkout. It's just the kind that doesn't have a conveyor belt. You kind of just pull your cart up. So they're talking, and I'm like, hey, are there any registers open right now? I was kind of annoyed. They were like, oh, our computers just went down. And I'm like, fuck. All the rain, everything's going out. So I'm just standing there, and there's a lot of other people standing around too. And this older guy comes like running up next to me, and then like does that whole like rush to the register. And at this point, I had a lot going on. It's been raining. It's just been bothering me. And I'm like, hey man, what the fuck are you doing? Like in the middle of the store. I'm like, fuck are you doing? The guy's like, what? I'm like, you don't see everybody just standing here, just waiting around? He goes, no, I didn't. I was just like, you think we're standing here for our health? There's no registers open, and we're just standing here? And you think you're just going to go to the front? And I was just like, get in the back. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know what you were doing. And like, as this is going on, like, this isn't me. But I'm in a shitty mood, and he apologized. I was like, my bad. I was like, I'm having a bad fucking day. And I just put my shit down and left. I'm like, I really don't need this anyway. And I just walked back out into the rain, got in my car, went back to TJ's house. And like probably 3 minutes later, the power came back on. And I got to iron my shit. And I ended up not having to walk in the rain anyway. So I had the pleasure. And I hate doing it because I felt bad immediately. And it'll tie in later. I felt horrible. So I just feel, I'm thinking about the comedy career, where I am, the shit I need to get done. I'm stressed about that. I'm asking myself, am I doing the right thing? I'm not at the level or where I want to be. I feel like I should be at least one or two, you know, steps ahead to make things easier. I'm doing a gig at the Kennedy Center. I'm nervous about that. The rain is shitty. It's just, I'm tired. There's a lot of shit going on. I yell at this dude. So I get downtown DC, going to the Kennedy Center to do the Underground DC showcase at the District of Comedy Festival, which I had no idea was really happening, to be honest, because I don't really keep up with many DC events. But I mean, I look it up after my buddy's like, no, this is like a legit full-on festival, dude. It's huge. And I look at it, and it's like the New Negroes is there, Baron Vaughn, Amanda Seals, Sajir Zameda. I mean, just all these Open Mic Eagle, all these comics and music people are going to be there. And I'm like, now I'm like nervous. You know, I was excited before, like, oh, the Kennedy Center, that's going to be dope. But no, this is like a legit, full-on, huge festival that I'm involved in. So I'm nervous about that. So I get down there, downtown. I try to, because it's such a big building. I figure, like, I can just eyeball it and get there. I kind of end up going out of the way. I'm supposed to be there by 7:15. I think I leave in enough time. And I do leave it enough time, but I've never driven down there, and this festival is fucking huge, and there's all these roundabouts and all these just these streets converging on this one building to try to get there, and it takes like 35 minutes to literally go a quarter of a mile. So I got all this stress building up about the other shit. I get there. It takes 35 minutes to get in there. The venue is ginormous. It's $25 to park. So I'm just all stressed out. Finally get in there. I meet my buddy Dominic. We go in the green room, which is always cool. This is one of the moments where it seems like all the shit that you go through pays off. You get the cool lanyard, the artist lanyard, which is cool. You get the artist green room where it's like They got food and drinks and lounge area, snacks and shit. There's no people around. It's just nothing but performers and comics. It's just a good place to hang out, network, see people, and just chill. And you feel kind of cool. It's like I've made it in show biz a little bit. I get to go back here, go backstage. So I'm watching some of the new Negro show from backstage. It's just dope. And I look out in the crowd. There's probably like 500 people out there. And I'm like, damn, I want to be on the show. This is the show I want to be on. It's one of the main shows. I'm like, one day I'm going to get on this show. But just back there talking to, you know, different people. I see my buddy Jordan Temple. And he's moving out to LA from New York. He just signed with CAA. He's writing on a TV show, doing shit I want to do. So it's dope seeing these guys doing things that I want to do. But so I get my badge and I walk over to the show where the showroom where I'm going to be performing is the Terrace Gallery. Beautiful room. It's almost set up like you could shoot a special in there. It's really dope. They got a nice backdrop. It's a packed room. When I first get there, it's kind of like, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know how this is going to go. Because it's kind of a loungy thing. They don't really have it set up like a comedy club. Up front, there's a bunch of like chaise lounges and chairs and sofas and stuff. So it kind of has that feel. Couple, two tops. And by the time the show starts, it is packed. I mean, it's standing room only. It's to the point where like there's a security person outside letting people in as people go out. So if five people leave, they can let five people in. So, I mean, it's packed like that to the gills. And it's all my, almost said Vegas, all my DC friends that I've worked with for the last couple years. And it was such a rewarding show because we go down to Big Hunt. It's just a grimy little basement, low ceilings. And some nights this is really, really tough. It can just get really hot in there. Sometimes the crowd is just dead. But for the most part, it's one of the hottest rooms. It's not the hottest room in D.C. But there's some nights where you're like, Jesus Christ, like, what am I doing with my life? Why am I punishing myself like this? It's just not good. And for all of us to, like, literally come above ground, everybody's got on a nice shirt, got the haircut, and here we are at the Kennedy Center, you know, D.C. Underground Comics. And the show was dope, top to bottom. Everybody had a great set. Just had so much fun, you know. I don't know. It's just like the only way I could describe it is, what could I really compare it to? It's like a moment of recognition, you know. Like if you work a dirty, grimy job with a bunch of your buddies, and then that one night you guys all go out and you actually get to see people dress up like, holy shit, this is what you look like with a haircut and a suit on. You know, it was just kind of one of those moments. And everyone had a great time, man. I was just honored to do that. And so that was a lot of fun, but the night didn't end there. My buddy Dominic that I was hanging out with, he had the honor of filming a sketch with Patton Oswalt, who played Spence on King of Queens for years. He's been doing comedy for over 25 years, probably close to 30. He started in D.C. way back in the day, and he came back to the area for the festival and to shoot some stuff for the intro for his upcoming special. So Dominic was fortunate enough to do that. He met him a few days before, and he's kind of headlining the festival. So Dominic's like, hey, our show's over. We should go check out Patton's show. So I'm kind of hesitant because I know I've been to those kind of things before where it's just like, dude, the security's probably crazy, you know, but maybe our badges will get us in. I don't want to bother him, all this type of shit. He's like, no, it'll be fine. They told me to come. He really liked me. So we end up finding out where his show is. We go backstage. He's got his own dressing room. Then he has like a VIP lounge area. And like, it's funny because like the food that we had in the low level artist area was decent. They had a nice sandwich spread. They had salad. They had cookies. They had drinks. But you go to Patton's smaller VIP room, and like the cookies are gourmet. He's got a fancy cheese platter, fancy crackers. They got beer and wine, and just like really nice, really like just organic fruit. It definitely wasn't like the fruit we had in the other one. So it's just, you see the level of quality change. Al Franken was back there. Senator Al Franken, or ex-senator, former senator Al Franken, was back there. And it's just like all these like rich-looking white people, and his manager, agent, just all these high-end people are there. And so we actually go out into the theater, and we watch the opening acts, you know, first 20 minutes. He's killing. It's really cool to sit in the audience and see how the acoustics are, and feel the energy from the crowd. But so, yeah, we talked to Patton just briefly because I didn't want to bother him. He was in between shows. But it was the best moment was side of stage. There's like a little waiting area, like, you know, where the sound people are, and where Patton was standing. And they had a couple of TV monitors back there where you can actually see the stage. You can see the crowd. And like Patton is standing side of the stage, and you can hear his opening act, you know, just like, oh, this is a great guy. You know, he's given me all his work. He's changed my life. Everybody, you guys ready to see him? And like Patton's just standing off to the side, and you can just hear people like getting all hyped up. Like they're going nuts. They're going nuts. And I didn't want to see him walk out on the stage. I didn't want to see people see him. I wanted to hear people see him. And like they're going nuts. So when he walks through the door, he's not out there immediately. There's kind of like drapes on the side. So it's probably like a 2 or 3 second delay from when they start clapping to like where he actually emerges and he's visible. So like he's like, all right, we're going to bring out Patton Oswalt. Everybody, you guys ready to see him? Patton Oswalt. And they're going nuts. It's loud. And then like the moment they see him, it goes to a whole nother level of people just losing their shit. And just to hear that, it just like, it sent chills down my spine. And I was just like, I can't believe that, like, this is his career, you know? I couldn't imagine having that level of success where people are that excited to see you perform and to hear what you have to say. But so that was a great experience. We watched the show from the side of stage. I actually went back into that little green room area and I listened from the back. I was just trying to experience it from different aspects, and I really enjoyed it. And it was just a great night. It was just one of those special nights where, you know, you got to perform on a good show with your friends, and then you go get to see comedy at the highest level, one of the highest levels. So I did my show, which is a local showcase, great show. I got to see the new Negro show, which is like a few levels above where I am. And then to go in backstage and watch Patton do a theater, which is levels above the new Negro show. It was just such a great night, all the different levels of comedy. And it was a great experience. It was just one of those special nights. Just one of those special nights. I had a good set on my show. I'll be honest, I didn't kill like I wanted to kill. They had a cordless mic, and it cut out like two times on like right near a punchline, so that really fucked me over. But everyone said I did fine, but I feel like I didn't do as well as I could have or as I should have, all because of me yelling at that guy. I have quick turn karma. Like I can do no wrong. The way I have to do things in my life, I have to be on the up and up all the time. The moment I get cocky, the moment I really talk shit, the moment I become arrogant and I say something to people or I do something that's out of my character, I pay for it immediately. That's just, I think my father's the same way. So I always have to conduct myself in a certain manner in order to be successful. And I don't know if there's other people that feel the same way, because I just see people treat people like shit and they seem to do fine. But for me, that's just something that's not in my not in the cards for me in my life, and whatever force or whatever you want to call it, that doesn't work for me. I always have to be on up and up, up and up. Yeah, the moment I step out of line, the moment other shit comes crashing down, and I see it immediately. But so great weekend, a lot of fun. So shout out to Sean Joyce and all the comics that were on the show. It was just a great weekend. up there in D.C. So much going on. Hopefully I can do that one again, but come back on like a, actually, I don't give a shit if it's that show, but I would love to do multiple sets at multiple levels on a festival like that. But there's the show. That's the show. Thanks for tuning in, and follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. Peace.